Hey, welcome back to This Expat Life, and today I'm back in a digital studio with a guest and also a coachee of mine. I'm joined by Floor Oosterlee. And Floor is an entrepreneur and serial globetrotter. She focuses on diversity and inclusion with her company In Your Shoes, and also works on driving investment into climate projects. And having lived in 6 different countries and traveled to almost all continents, she knows the expat life quite well. And she also acknowledges the personal challenges that come with this globetrotting life. As I mentioned, Floor is also one of my coachees and one with the biggest transformation, I have to say. And that's why I brought her onto the show. Inner work or prioritizing your personal growth can really unlock a lot within you, much more than you anticipate beforehand. Working on how you feel or how you act in one area of your life, or addressing patterns and emotions that have been present within you for a long time, can actually have a ripple effect on many other areas in your life. And I think this is the case for Floor as well. I've seen Floor grow a lot in the past months with such positive impact on her relationships, how she feels abroad, her business, and the space that she dares to occupy, and so much more. And that's why I brought her onto the show. Welcome, Floor.
Thank you, Amanda.
So nice to have you here. And as always, I ask the first question to my guests, and that is, where are you calling in from right now? Because with you, I actually never know.
From the Netherlands. Okay. Yeah, I'm back home at the moment for 1 week for some client sessions with my company, In Your Shoes. Mm-hmm. But most of my time recently was in Portugal with my husband, who's now still there. So we were separate for 1 week.
Ah, okay. So I know because we speak quite regularly, you split most of your time between the Netherlands and Portugal. So the Netherlands is your home country. Portugal is where you live. And your business, I think, is mostly focused on the Netherlands. But I also know that you travel, like sometimes you call in from Africa, or you're in Costa Rica or London, I think. Yeah. So you travel a lot, right?
Yes. Yeah. So indeed. So I think, so I split my personal life between the Netherlands and Portugal, but mm-hmm. my work life between In Your Shoes, my company that, like you said, is focused on diversity and inclusion in the workplace, which is mainly focused on the Netherlands at the moment. Mm-hmm. But the other half of my working life is for a company called CFP Energy. They're based in London, so that's why I'm there. And yeah, we drive investments into carbon projects or climate projects, and they can be like for reforestation, for example. And so therefore I'm sometimes in Africa, maybe to South America soon, we'll see. Mm-hmm. And Costa Rica was actually for a wedding, so yeah. You can see my face light up. I absolutely love traveling and being abroad.
Yeah, I think this is where the topic that we bonded over as well, this globetrotting life and just being in so many different countries all the time. And actually, it's funny, I think we never spoke about it, but now that I hear you talk about all these things, I'm realizing both your personal life and your work life are very split in countries, in different topics. We never really addressed it, but maybe this is a topic for later on. I don't know, but we'll see what comes up. But you seem to be like a very diverse person, and I think you'll have a hard time with routine or focusing on one thing or one country only.
Yeah, indeed. And that's why it's important to actually, because you're mentioning routine too. I learned to keep some routines. For example, in the morning, I really love a miracle morning. Remember what the writer is called, but I do these things to keep that routine, because sometimes in a day I work on reforestation in West Africa, and then I have to switch to a company that wants to work on inclusion, and then we switch back to Portugal because we're renovating a house there. So it's very exciting. I think it's sometimes pretty heavy for my brain.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And knowing also like running a business, I always have a ton of things to do. So I've recently really implemented my own morning routine as well. And it has helped me so much to give structure to my days, no matter where I am. So it's really nice that you mentioned this. I think this is a good tip for every busy expat or person who is traveling a lot all the time or has so many different projects going on. Have a strong morning routine in place that is really yours, no matter what you do, and that you can check in with yourself.
Yeah, and like you said on your podcast, you can change it every time you want to change it. I do the miracle morning routine now, so you can just Google that and it will pop up because it's quite famous. But you also have your podcast about it, so you can do anything. Just take some time for yourself, or at least that's what I do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, some move their body more. I'm spending most of my time on like manifesting stuff and visualizing my future self. Yeah. Okay, so I actually wanted to start with going back in time to almost a year ago when I got a LinkedIn message from you saying, hey, I see you're a coach for expats. I want to know more about working together with you. And can you share a little bit more to the listeners what your situation was like at that moment and why you sought out a coach and what you were needing?
Sure. I remember that I was in Portugal and we went back there. So me and my husband and dog went back there after we did our honeymoon to Australia. Actually, that was in the spring of 2023. And before that, we were already traveling in Europe for almost 2 years and freelancing and building my company. So already a pretty global or European life, but pretty globe-trotting, I would say. Mm-hmm. And when we came back from Australia, we were broke. And it was like, we were just forcing ourselves to go back to normal life, right? So like, okay, shit, we need to find a job. My husband needed to. He wasn't working as freelancer like I did. But that just didn't feel right at all. After 2 months, it was like, now I can more easily recognize these feelings and we can talk about that and emotions. But then we just exploded, both of us, in terms of feelings and emotions. Like, they were fighting all the time. And then we realized, actually, okay, we don't need to be in the Netherlands. So we went back to Portugal. We already had our renovation house there, but we couldn't live in it. But we thought, we'll make it work. So we lived in a caravan in that summer, literally. And so I felt really good about that. Like, I took my own path. For me, the path of freedom, like living abroad and choosing, like, if I don't want to be in the Netherlands, even though I love my country, and you say this as well, right? Love my country, love the people here, but we can just choose to go. But so that was great. But I kept feeling in Portugal last summer just an unclear feeling of unrest. Mm-hmm. A lot of thoughts about my relationships back home, so back in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
That were more negative. And I was afraid of losing friends and all of that. And I couldn't put my finger on it. And I thought, oh, I don't want to grow my business. So it was also this ambition. And I saw, I think it was a LinkedIn post of you that really struck the right chord. And I remember we had a discovery call with both of us. And then I said, I want to work on my business with you. Are you also a business coach? And I just want to, feel better and feel a bit better about my choices, something like that.
Yeah.
So I think that was the very unclear for myself reason why I was triggered by your post. Although I felt that there was definitely things going on in my heart and brain that, even though I was back in Portugal, there was still feelings of unrest. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I notice from my own life, I see it with my coachees all the time as well. And we live that exciting globe-trotting life and we have everything that we wanted, right? But yet, like you said, something isn't quite right. So we have all this restlessness inside of us, and that is coming out as tension in our relationships or a lot of pressure on our work or losing ourselves in our work or fear about losing our friendships, like you said. So this restlessness that you experience in this vague, like you said, now you are good with talking about your emotions and feeling them and understanding them, but before you weren't maybe that good at it. And so it just, you feel this nagging, vague feeling inside of you, but you don't really know what it is. And so then it's like, okay, I want to work on my business. That's the thing. That's like the most logical thing in your logical brain, the most tangible thing. And I think what we realized in that discovery call was that there was a lot more going on in the background. And as you know, that's what I work on in my coaching. I really want to help you find or unlock sustainable change in your life. And so we can work on the outer layers like business and work and habits and stuff like that. But if we don't tackle what's going on inside of you, that deeper level that you don't really understand yourself yet, I don't think those changes are going to last. So that's always the deeper level I want to work on with my coaches. And yeah, I think you and I got there really quickly. You're super comfortable. like I said, you're one of my coaches with the biggest transformation that I've seen. It makes me really happy because I love seeing people grow, and I've really seen you grow. Can you maybe share a little bit about, well, what is different for you now if you compare it to almost a year ago?
Yeah. I think it's a lot of things, so it's also always a bit difficult to summarize. But yeah, and one thing I did want to add to why I reached out, and also why I thought the logical thing was the most logical thing to do, is that I was normally before way more reliant on talking with friends mm-hmm. or family to, you know, I have this feeling of unrest, and then I would just seek external yes. acceptance.
Yes.
And just seek that conversation, right?
Yes.
And, but I was in Portugal. And I was in Portugal. So, of course, I could call my friends. But at least in my 30s, relationships change as well. And I felt that people have kids and they would always pick up the phone. But I did feel this, like, I need to solve this myself a bit. So, mm-hmm. that was also a reason why I thought, okay, I need to solve this feeling of unrest myself, and not just pick up the phone, yeah. call my best friend that I know for 30 years, and do it as I used to do,
yeah,
and put the responsibility on her also to solve it, yeah. almost like so. Yeah, so I think this is already something that has changed, because mm-hmm. I think you talk about this as well, that going through a personal journey, but and then relying much more on yourself, or like I would say about me, I rely much more on myself now. And it doesn't mean that you have to quit friendships or you don't need people around you anymore. I mean, I think human beings need the connection, right?
Yeah.
But I rely much more on myself when I need to make a decision, if it's business, if it's posting a LinkedIn post that it's a bit personal, if, you know, buying a house, but, you know, making these bigger decisions, but also smaller decisions to, no, I'm just going to stand up in this meeting for myself. It sounds so logical when I say it, but I think yeah. I relied so much on external acceptance
yeah.
before you coached me. So I think that's definitely one thing. Although I have to be honest, I still struggle with the you know, distinction between relying on myself mm-hmm. and the need to maintain connections.
Yeah.
What's the balance, right? So I think, you know, that's a bit of my struggle, I think, still. But I feel still struggle in life.
Yes. So. I recognize that struggle as well. Maybe to already go a little bit deeper into that, like, I think a lot of the expats that I coach, they are already super self-reliant, so they maybe check with friends, like you said, they find some external validation or external acceptance, or just bouncing off some ideas. But if they're honest, and I'm not sure if you were the same, but they do already rely a lot on themselves, and there's just one part that just wants to check with the other person, am I doing the right thing? And something that I'm really coaching on with them is that they really learn to not rely so much on themselves, so that they learn to rely on support from others, that they learn to rely not knowing things sometimes, and that it's still okay, and not having to fix everything by themselves, because they're so used often already from a very young age to just fix things on their own, to know it all on their own, to not be a burden to other people. That for them, they really have to learn the other way more, like, hey, okay, I can accept help, I can rely on other people. And so when they come to me for coaching, it's already at that stage that they are experiencing the pain, like, okay, on my own, I'm not getting there, I need some support. But actually, what I want for them is really more in advance to seek out support, whether it's with a coach or with friends, to really be like, okay, I don't have to carry everything by myself, I have a community around me. So not sure what I wanted to say with this, but I was just wondering how that is for you as well.
I think it's, for me, it's actually the other way around almost. Yeah, I think the in the practical things, like also when you talk about expat life or moving abroad, I relied a lot on others. I'm super intuition driven. So yeah. I go for it. And also, like, I moved to England when I was 22 or something. But all the practical things, you know, my parents drove me there, friends came to visit. Mm. I got a lot of external validation as well with all that help and support.
Yeah.
And that was always around me. And I'm very grateful and lucky with that. So it was not that I was held back by other people's opinions or that I was doing everything myself. I think I just did it, but I think it's sort of at an emotional level, I was always seeking, sometimes still seek acceptance of the choices I make. So I think it's more at that level.
Yeah.
Like I would go for it, I would move abroad, go travel in Australia, all of these things, but still my head or heart, I don't know, would be at home with the people and checking in.
Yeah.
If they still would accept me.
Yeah.
Even though I was all over the place.
Yeah. Well, it's really beautiful that you open up and share this, because this sounds a bit like, hey, I'm looking for approval of me, and am I still being accepted even though I'm away? And you are in my group program, The Next Level Expedition. And I know that you're not the only one struggling with this, like this external approval that we subconsciously seek from those around us, and which can really hold us back. Because if we don't get it immediately, then we feel more fear, like, oh, am I allowed to go there? Should I do this? And you mentioned that you find it now more within yourself, this acceptance and this, like, okay, I don't need to rely on others to make a move or to stand up for myself. Do you have some examples of how you're doing that now in your daily life?
Yeah, okay. I think, I mean, in choices together with my husband make, for example, with buying a house, you know, which is completely... completely a mess, almost a ruin, I would say. And so it doesn't, well, I mean, I would maybe think that it doesn't make sense, or that other people might, although there are a lot of people who say that it's super cool and that they want it and all of these things. But I think it's those, that's a big decision, by the way, but that we would just go for it and trust our own gut. And of course, I make that decision with my husband, which makes it easier. So, but that's one thing that I didn't check in with friends that I would normally check things with. So I think that's something that come up. But it's also in the smaller things, just how I think it's very practical things with how you write an email, for example.
Tell us.
It would normally be like, hi, hope you're well, hope everything's okay with blah blah blah, and then I'm very my apologies for not sending this earlier, explaining why you not sent it earlier, and then ending again with an apology. That is something that comes to mind. So I would now then just say, like, thank you for your message and thank you for your patience.
Yes.
And so, yeah, and I will come back to you in 3 days. So I think this is a very special, specific example, but it's something I'm really conscious about.
Yeah.
How I write and how I come across. And I'm really feeling like no, it, you know, it's, I don't need the approval of the person on the other side of the screen. So I don't need to apologize for anything. Like, now it's also ridiculous. It feels ridiculous. Like, why? And I also notice when more junior people that I work with do this all the time, say sorry to me all the time. Sorry, sorry for this. Sorry. So I always say, like, there's no need to apologize. You didn't hit me. You didn't do anything wrong to me, you know? So I try to role model that a bit as well.
That's amazing. I think you say it's a very specific example, but I think it's so universal. And I think a lot of women recognize this example. I used to write emails like that as well. Like, oh, apologies for the delay. And now I'm like, thank you for the reminder. Thank you for your patience. And you say that you are very conscious about your words and how you write. But do you also feel differently? Does it now come from a place of like, well, I'm not going to fill in your words, but is it different compared to a year ago, how you feel inside?
I don't know if that's feelings or thoughts. It's probably a mix, but just it's confidence that has grown. And that's actually, scribbled a little note before we started the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's pretty hard to put the finger on it. And I know you say this sometimes as well, like, yeah, what does the coaching actually do? And some really practical examples, but sometimes it is hard to put the finger on it because it's so inside of you. And I put my hands here, so I do feel a sort of more energetic feeling in my body.
Mm-hmm.
I think compared to last year, I'm a bit more stable or so, but that's really hard to describe.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the end, the result under the bottom line is a massive growth in confidence.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah. And what triggered that? None of this just triggered. It's just a process. You need to put in the work.
Yeah. You put in the work. I saw that. You were so dedicated and committed to our sessions and always showing up with everything that was going on with you. And I think sometimes I get asked, what kind of coachee do you want to work with, or what makes a good coachee? And I always say anyone who is coachable. And so that means that they are open not only to what I'm asking them, but mostly to what they are feeling inside themselves, and to not only think everything with their rational thoughts, but to really be honest and like, okay, apparently this is what I'm feeling. I need to be honest with myself and admit it and bring it into the coaching. And so the people who do that the most, that those who can really acknowledge everything that they think, even the nasty things, or acknowledging their flaws or their emotions that they're ashamed of, those are the ones that make the biggest transformation. Because I always see it as like, these emotions and these things are part of you anyway. You're just trying to push them away. So you're losing a lot of energy and headspace over it, or it happens subconsciously. And once you can accept everything of yourself, it just feels like weight has shifted, or lifted actually off your shoulders. And I don't know how it is for you, but if I look at my own personal growth, it's also hard to put words to it. Like you said, like it's a feeling, but it's hard to describe it. But for me, it's really about the absence of things. So before, I would feel a lot of fear when I would show myself in a meeting, or when I posted something online, or if I just wanted to do something that showed a side of my personality in a professional environment. And right now, I don't feel that fear anymore. Sometimes, occasionally, I do, yes. But the absence of fear, the absence of shame, the absence of a lot of different things has really made me feel lighter overall. And I can just be myself wherever I go. And that's a sort of confidence that I now bring with me and that I experience with me. So I don't know if you recognize that.
Yeah, it makes me think of what you sometimes say, is that you peel the layers off. That can be like shame.
Exactly.
Fear.
Yeah.
I do recognize that. I also would say that I'm not completely there, and that's also okay. But one thing that I actually also wrote down, and you said about emotions, which is super powerful and you make it a central part of your coaching, is to recognize that recognize in the sense of, well, label them, but more like recognize the presence of an emotion and not push them away. And we're working with this, and I think it needs some practice, and coaching can help with that, or talking it through. But because if you would tell me a year ago, like, don't push away your emotions, I would start to think with my head what that means. But now, yeah, I can actually do it in my body and actually work with that. So, and an example is, and you know this example when I will share it, is that in February, me and my husband had to make the decision to put down one of, put to rest one of our dogs, Buddy. Yeah. And this made us so sad. It was really difficult. He was a street dog from Portugal. It was a difficult decision. I can talk for hours about him. And we were super sad. And because he had such a sad life and also a good life with us, it was complex emotions. And although a lot of people were nice to us around us, I think with a pet, you have to have a pet and have, you know, gone through the experience to really understand that you're just broken. At least we were, and I think more people recognize it. Mm-hmm. And then I really practiced with this pushing, because I also had the emotion that there was not so much attention. In my perception, there was not so much attention, and I was just also sad, so I felt like that. Mm-hmm. So I really, and it's really difficult to explain what you then do. So I think that requires practice. Mm-hmm. So you just sit with it, you cry, or I cried as much as I wanted to. I took time off. I just told my business partner and colleagues what happened. I couldn't care what they thought, but they were really lovely. But still, I cried in the meeting. You know, these things that just, and it doesn't mean that you have to cry all the time to not push away your mm-hmm. emotions, but it's really about them recognizing and maybe writing things down. And well, I cannot explain how to do this, but that was, and now I think I'm sometimes still sad about the dog.
Yeah.
But it just feels super healthy or something. Yeah.
Yeah. It is allowed to be there, sadness. And so it's in a healthy way, it's part of you. And so what happens with emotions is emotions just want to be felt. They want to be acknowledged. And if we don't do that, if we don't make space for it, they will come knocking on our door until we make space for it. So if you, like you were saying, like you allowed it in, you welcomed it in. And so now it can be part of you in a healthy way. But let's say you hadn't done this and you just focused on your work. You focused on going out or being with people, you know, something to distract yourself from this huge grief. Then at some point, you would probably explode. You're going to be super cranky with your loved ones. You might not fall asleep at night anymore because your head is like nonstop working. You will experience physical sensations like, stress symptoms or something else in your body until you make space for this grief. And you're right, this is a difficult part of coaching sometimes to describe. Maybe to share a little bit from my own experience, and someone I also started recently working with, is that, well, at least what I did, I thought I was in contact with my emotions, because if, you know, a boy would break up with me, I would cry and I would call a friend immediately, and then I would cry some more and done. I mean, I would still cry for more days, but I thought, oh, I cry, so I'm in contact with my emotions. But it was only through my own coaching journey that I realized that I was far from it, actually, because what I did was I briefly touched the emotion and then went around it. And then I also put it right away with someone else. So I didn't take time to process it myself, to sit with it. And sit with it really means crying when it's sad, being angry when you're angry, feeling the fear in your body when you are afraid. And often what I did, I was really good at talking about my emotions, analyzing them and explaining them, until a fellow coach pointed that out to me. She was like, yeah, you're great at naming your emotions, but like, where are you feeling them or showing them? And I think a lot of expat coaches, or at least mine that I've worked with, have this quality, quote unquote, as well, that they're very good at analyzing and naming it, but not really good at feeling it. So the person I recently spoke with, she said as well, like, oh yeah, I journal a lot about my emotions, but then I'm actually still analyzing them instead of feeling them. So like you said, like, you sit with it. That's what you do when you really want to go through these emotions. You don't push them away through analyzing or through finding distraction, which is another common one. You just sit with it. And that can look nasty. Like, sometimes that can look like crying, really, like bawling your eyes out, you know, or being so angry you want to punch someone, or feeling so afraid that, like, it's all, it almost feels like you can't breathe. But that is really the only way to go through it and to acknowledge those emotions within yourself, and so that they can then leave and come back in a healthy way when it's necessary. So yeah. I like that you brought this in. Maybe to make it a little bit more concrete. Now, we've done coaching, you extended the sessions as well after the coaching journey. You're my group program now. I've seen you grow from the inside and out. What are, you mentioned a couple of things already, but what are the, some of the things that are different in your life right now? And what was like the ripple effect of working on yourself, on these, like the inner world, the emotions, but how do you see the benefits in the outside world?
Yeah. So I can name a personal one, and a more like professional one, which I would call a ripple effect.
Yeah.
But they are linked, of course, because it's really, I don't know if it's cliche maybe, but it's like a really truly that an entrepreneur or a professional can only grow as much as the person can. So I strongly believe in that now. But yeah, the personal one. So we, like you said, we went in, we dove in deep, I think in the first session already. Yeah. And it was I'm laughing because I think I was already crying a lot, and it's all yeah, it was like straight in, and you opened that up for me, so that was great. But that was a lot about also my childhood and a relationship with my family members. And yeah, probably if you do good coaching, that will always come up, I assume, how someone was raised. Or, and I realized that although I had a really good childhood and a really warm family, there's always things that can affect you when you're younger. We worked a lot on that. And I made a huge shift myself in the relationship with my parents and brothers. I don't know, they would probably not even know this, because I think I talked about it with my mom, but just by doing that work myself with you, the inner work, you can already make a shift that makes improvements to relationships that are already good. But so my own position in those relationships has changed in a way that is for me more healthier. And makes them lighter and even closer. So
yeah,
I don't know if they would say the same, but that doesn't matter for me. It feels like this.
Exactly.
I think that's my basis. My parents and my brothers are my basis in life, you know. They're my base, basically. And by doing all that work in a couple of sessions, and of course also outside of the sessions, the ripple effect is the, you know, what I said, the growth in confidence. And I don't know exactly how that bridge is being made. Maybe you have an analysis, but I mean, so that's something you don't expect, like really digging deep, but that made me really grow in confidence and feeling more like myself. And that has an effect on me as an entrepreneur, because I show up online like I've never thought I would ever, like giving my opinion and caring less. Not, I still care about what other people say, but caring less about what other people might think about those messages that I put on LinkedIn specifically on pretty sensitive topics, like sometimes discrimination in the workplace. And I do like this because, you know, I raise my shoulders for people who are not, who are only listening. But it's like I care less about that. I'm more myself. I put myself more out there. And I don't know exactly how that ripple effect is established by working on my past, but it has definitely, those are two big results for me.
Yeah, beautiful results. And I think by working on your past, I think for everyone, I have a lot of coaches who say like, oh, but my parents were great and I had a good childhood. And yeah, but you can still acknowledge that some parts impacted you. And these can be tiny things that may not have been done intentionally by your parents or siblings or even teachers or whoever played a role in your life as you, when you were young. But they do affect us. And sometimes family dynamics about that are present, like not talking about emotions or a dad who could like explode in anger every single time or who was never really present because he worked so much, that has an impact on you as a child. And whatever you learn in your childhood, especially from 0 to 7 years old, you're like a sponge and you absorb everything and you take that as the truth. And so that becomes like the blueprint for the rest of your life. And that's how you then respond to things often in your life as well, through the way that you learned it in your childhood. And I think by accepting all of those things that happened, or the just the dynamics that are going on, you create more sympathy for yourself, more compassion, more understanding, and you can kind of relax into it. Okay, oh, this is why I'm doing XYZ, or this is how that started. And so I think there's more relaxation into it instead of fighting it. And then with every layer that you peel off, you just come closer to your authentic self. And I think all of us, we put on layers, we put on masks because we have to be different people. Like in the work environment, we have to be our professional selves. With friends, we have to be someone. And the moment you can peel away those masks as well, and you just become your authentic self, you don't really have a lot to lose. There's nothing to pretend or nothing to keep up, you know, no mask to hold on to or to hide behind. And this is not something that a lot of people consciously do. It just happens unconsciously. And I think the more you can take away your masks, the more you can just feel free to be yourself and you worry less about what other people think. So there comes this natural confidence, I think. That's at least my analysis also of what I've been seeing with myself, with you, with other people.
Yeah.
And that has this ripple effect on business, on friendships, on other things. Yeah.
Yeah. And the process itself is, so I would say, scary, but also comes with fear still, because I'm still afraid that I lose some friends.
Yeah.
With friendships. Yeah. Now we talk about this as well, but like the friendships that come from that childhood that change so much, and I become more myself, but they know the previous floor, so how can they then like the new floor? So that's something, I mean, I think this is still a process, and that's you don't change overnight.
No, and you said at the beginning, like, oh, I don't think I'm there yet, but I don't think we ever are. Like, I've done two intensive coaching trainings. I had a lot of coaching myself, and I'm not there at all. Like, I don't think it ever ends, really. But you do understand yourself better, so you can recognize certain patterns. You can, like, whereas before you, maybe at least me, I wouldn't be aware of an emotion until it would like knock on my door, you know, and then I'd be like, oh yeah, I guess I'm sad. And now the slightest change in my physical sensations or like tells me like, oh, I think I'm experiencing fear right now, or I think there's something else going on for me that I need to investigate. Or, oh yeah, that's just that old pattern of my fear of abandonment coming up because I feel it in my throat. And so you become much more sensitive to what is going on inside of you and what you really need. So you can also meet your own needs better. And I think that in turn also can boost your confidence or at least make you feel steadier in life. And that also helps your results.
Yeah. And when you start practicing this, and I can also do it much better now. I had a question for you a while ago, like, how can I recognize a real emotion and the distinction with just not wanting to do something or annoyance, what you should get over? Sometimes you should get over yourself, I think. And like, for example, you know, when you set your alarm early and you wake up and you think, oh, I want to stay in bed. I can now recognize, and this is more physical maybe, but still it's also can also be emotional, but I can now recognize better, okay, you know, this is, you know, get out of bed, this is your normal, you, and yeah, once you have breakfast, it's all good. Or no, I need this rest now, I had a tough week, or I'm on holiday, mm-hmm. you're allowed to rest now. And it's just something, you know, because, or I know, because I listen, really listen to, you don't cheat yourself, right? You don't, you, yeah. you cannot be untrue actually to yourself. It doesn't exist, I think.
Well, I think we can fool ourselves though. So we got all these patterns yeah. and these masks that we put on. And so one of mine is working hard. And so when I meet resistance within myself, or things aren't flowing in my business or whatever, even in relationship, my tendency is that I work harder, I push through it. And so I always check in with myself, okay, is this harder work really necessary now? Or is that just my natural response to what's going on? And then when it's my natural response, I check in with myself, what do I really feel like doing, or what is needed? So like your antenna becomes more attuned, I think, to what yeah. you really need. But I think it's about recognizing those patterns that you learned in life. And knowing like, okay, this is sometimes how I can fool myself. So I don't think you can be untrue to your authentic self, but there are like layers that blur your vision or that blur your connection.
But once you know that this is really me, or this is really what I need, then I don't think you can.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, exactly. Yeah. So it takes some time.
That's the key.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree. And so once you become aware of those masks and patterns, then it becomes much easier to navigate your life, because you're not trapped in your own trigger responses. Like you can zoom out and find a different approach. And that can be difficult sometimes because it feels awkward or new. In the end, that becomes then your more natural response to things.
Yeah.
Flor, is there anything you want to share in this episode about your coaching journey, or I don't know, a tip you have for expats who are listening and who recognize themselves in your story from a year ago?
Yeah, for me, it's really like if you have the same unrest, or and which is really unclear, just a nagging feeling, don't wait until you have defined what it then is. Because for me, that took a long time, and it could be really a blind spot, can be really a blind spot. So, because that's what we sometimes try to do. Or like, oh, what do you want to get out of the coaching? Even before I didn't know. And something still triggered me to just go for it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter if you don't know what you want to work on. I mean, and you are good at that, Amanda. You can just, you'll find those layers and those. But sometimes I come in into a session, I'm like, I'm not sure what to talk about. But, and then we still talk for an hour, and then really helpful. So it doesn't matter if you don't know.
Yeah, that is such a good tip, because I think a lot of high achieving experts, they always want to, you know, get results. They want to fix things. So they think, I first need to know what I want to work on before I can start working on it. But what you're saying is trust the process, just go for it, and it will come up, and then you will work on whatever is needed.
That's not a business meeting where you have to, you know, find the key takeaways. Just, you don't need to know before.
Yeah, amazing. I love that you share this. And then my final question that I always ask to all my guests on the show, and that is, what is your number one hack to make living or traveling abroad easier, more fun, more enjoyable?
Yeah. Number one is find your local cafe. If you drink coffee or tea, just find your favorite one, get to know the people there, practice some Portuguese with them, for you too, by the way.
Yeah.
Or local language. And just make that your sort of second living room.
Yeah.
And the second one would be go to nature every day. Doesn't matter if you live in a city or more in country. But so those two, nature and coffee.
Yeah. Oh, I love that you mentioned the second one as well, because you often send me like nature pictures of your walks after a coaching session, or when you did like an insight or a meditation. So I always really enjoy them. And you're so right. Like, nature is so important. Like, it suits us in a natural way. And so it's really important to seek that, I think. And sometimes when we're busy, we forget that.
And so the best would be a coffee place, a beautiful coffee place in nature.
Yes.
That would be my biggest.
Nice. I'm going to remember that one for today. Flor, if people want to know more about you or your work, where can they find you?
Easiest is LinkedIn, Flor Oosterlee, which is Dutch name, but I'm sure you put it in the show.
We'll put it, yeah.
I'm not really on Instagram, but yeah, and In Your Shoes is my company. Mm-hmm. You'll find it when you go to my LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, and that's your diversity and inclusion consultancy company, right?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Great. Okay, I will definitely link that up. Knowing also how much online space you've learned to take, I would really suggest everyone to also link with you on LinkedIn to see it as inspiration and to make our community of growth-oriented expats also a little bit bigger. So, Flor, thank you so much for coming onto the show, for being so open about your personal journey. I can talk for hours with you like we've done in the past. I really appreciate you coming here. So thank you very much.
Thank you.